Revelation chapter 3 tonight, verse number 7. We've been talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night for some time now, and I didn't mean to do this, but I got hung up. The Bible said to each one of these seven churches of Asia, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I believe there's something in each one of these that would help us even in our day. The Bible said unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Isn't that something, Brother Jason, how you opened up? Amen. Both things are being taught right here concerning the tribulation and concerning the coming of the Lord. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Pray with me a moment. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for the writing concerning the church at Philadelphia. And I pray, God, we could glean something tonight, our Father, from this precious group of people. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us, our Father, tonight in the service to honor you. And Lord, I pray that you'd honor us with your presence. God, we thank you for the good singing, the good fellowship, the good testimonies of God's people. Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Most people know, but Philadelphia, the name of that city means brotherly love. And this is one of the seven churches, one of two, where Jesus had nothing negative to say about the church in Philadelphia. Boy, wouldn't it be good to have a church where Jesus wouldn't have to come in and straighten anything out. Amen. What a blessing that is. It's the youngest of the seven cities, and it was originally founded as a missionary outpost for Hellenism, the culture of ancient Greece. Philadelphia had been built with a deliberate intention that it might become a missionary city. It was a prosperous city. It commanded one of the greatest highways in the world, the highway which led from Europe to the East. Philadelphia was a gateway from one continent to another. That's written after Barclay. And I want to give you three major things tonight. There may be four, but there's three major things I want to give you tonight as I looked at the Scripture and studied the Scripture that we need to glean from this church at Philadelphia. The Bible said to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy. How many believes he's still holy? He's always been holy. The word of God said, for such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. That's why, beloved, when a religion makes Jesus a created being, instead of the Creator, they've messed up. Paul said they're preaching another gospel and they're preaching another Jesus. Amen. The Jesus of the Bible, beloved, is the Creator of heaven and earth. The Word of God tells us that. And there, here I want you to see tonight in this first part of the message tonight that there's an opportunity in this church to reach others. The Bible said here, there's an open door. He that is true He that is holy. I learned this today. There's two meanings for the Greek word true. One meaning is true, not false. Another word meaning is true, not fake. And the second word is used when it's talking about Jesus being true. He's the real deal. Say amen. He's not an imposter. He's not a fake. Amen. He's the Son of God. And beloved, He's going to teach us something here. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I couldn't help. Listen to me. I'm not going to fuss tonight. Not going to do it. Amen. But I couldn't help but think about some things when I thought about an open door. We had 8 that went out. 9, I believe, went out last night on visitation. And thank God for 9 that went out on visitation. But we just had 155 kids in Bible school. And can I tell you, I promise you, there are dozens. I said dozens right now of open doors. Dozens of open doors where children attended here all week, and all it would take was somebody to knock on that door and love on that mom, love on that dad, love on that youngin. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, if we only got 10% of those youngins in Sunday school and children's church, that'd be 15. Would somebody help me tonight? I'm telling you, God has set before us an open door. And ain't no man can shut it. Amen. But the question is tonight, when God sets before us an open door, will we walk through it? Will we take advantage of the open door? We're talking about the coming of the Lord. Honey, these doors may be shut. These doors may be shut before Jesus comes. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I've said this for years. While you've got your health, you better make every trip you can to the house of God, because there'll come a time like in your mamaw's life that love God, love Jesus, love preaching, love to go to the house of God. There'll come a time when you can't go anymore. Amen. And I believe we ought to, my friend, listen, take advantage of the open door that God has set before us tonight. Oh, beloved, listen, I believe there's all kinds of open doors. Listen, I was thinking today, I was reading about Charles Spurgeon, and this fella come to him, and he said, Mr. Spurgeon, he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, that God would help me to win souls, just to know how to get started. He said, sir, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm an engineer on a train. He said, well, let me ask you something. Is the fellow that shovels the coal on that train a Christian? Does he know Jesus? That fellow said, I don't know. Spurgeon looked at him and said, that's a good place to start. You see, there was an open door, amen, and he didn't even realize it. We go to work, there's open doors. We go to school, there's open doors. We go to the gas station, there's open doors. I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, God sets before us open doors, and if we're not careful, we'll walk by the door instead of walking through the door and taking advantage of the door that God has opened right square in front of us. Jesus said here, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I like that, don't you? You know something? I believe it's good, listen, even in our prayer life. How many's had maybe a question mark about something in your life? You just didn't know for sure which way to go. You know what you can do? You can get on your knees and you can say, God, if this is not your will, shut that door. You say, Pastor, you done lost your mind. No, I haven't either, amen. I tell you, I know a God that can open a door wide open, and I know one that can slam it shut, amen. Before I make a mistake, I'd rather God just slam that door shut, amen, in front of me, amen. And I believe God will do it, amen. The Word of God said here, there's an opportunity to reach others, and that's an open door that God has given us, amen. I visited with a family last night, Brother Jason, that didn't even know we had Bible school last week. Amen. If we had more people walking through open doors, she and those 3 youngins would have known we was having Bible school. I mean, we put forth effort, amen. We do. But I'm trying to tell you, beloved, listen, as a church, the church in Philadelphia, Jesus said nothing negative about them, but He said, I've set before you an open door, And I think, beloved, listen, I'm glad the night I got saved there was an open door. Amen. I'm glad that door wasn't closed. Amen. I'd actually lived. I'll tell you the story sometime. I'd lived 30 days thinking the door was shut and nothing could be done about it. And I tell you, it was a blessing that night when God opened that door one more time. Amen. And I was able to get in and get saved by the grace of God. Amen. There's an opportunity, beloved, to reach others. There's an open door. But then let me give you this tonight. Let's go on down here. He said, I know thy works. I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Did you know tonight, if you read that and you don't know your Bible, you might think, well, that's kind of a negative. You've just got a little strength. The Word of God said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that might, so you might be thinking, well, you know, the church at Philadelphia, they just had a little strength. But let me tell you what's being said right here. They know how to rely on God. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Well, listen to this passage of Scripture. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. My pastor is the one that I was saved under, Brother Wishon. He's the one that taught me this, and I believe he's right. I won't be dogmatic about it, but there's a lot of ideas about the thorn in the flesh. Paul's eyes, ophthalmia, I think, was the disease that he had, bulging eyes, and he'd see how large a letter the Word of God said that I write unto thee. But if you read it in its context, there was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. How many remembers that? Amen. And then he came back down here. He said, I saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. Now listen, I know this from experience. When God shows me something, Brother Brian, I don't know how you are, but I can't wait to get to the pulpit or knock on somebody's door or call somebody or text them and tell them what God showed me. Amen. So Paul's back down here now, and every time he gets up to preach, I believe old Slewfoot was gouging him, saying, tell it. Old Satan saying, tell it. Tell that revelation. Tell what you saw. Why? Because then they would have made a god out of Paul. If you don't believe that, look at Acts 28. Somebody say amen right there. He would have been exalted above measure. So that thorn in the flesh, and what I believe Paul was asking God to do was, Lord, would you let me preach without that sucker sticking that thorn in my side? Amen. Would you give me some liberty to preach? And God said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said there was a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what Paul learned how to do? Same thing the Church of Philadelphia learned how to do. He learned how to lean on the Lord. Say amen. He said, you got a little strength. And you know what that little strength will do? It'll drive you to the one that's got all the strength that you need. Say amen. In our weakness, beloved, his strength is perfected. And then Paul said, he changed his mind. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I don't know about you, but I believe in our weakness is some of the closest places we'll ever get to the Lord. Amen. I believe that's some of the times, beloved, when you can't even get the words out in prayer. And the Spirit of God that we're teaching about, the beloved comes along and beloved takes those prayers with groanings that cannot be uttered before the throne of God. So they had an opportunity. They had an open door. They had a little strength. Amen. And they relied on the strength that comes from above, on the Lord's strength. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe that when any group of people, they get to a place where they think we're strong, and they get to a place where they think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, I believe that's a dangerous position to be in. I love the song, Brother Junior, that says, we need thee every hour, most precious Lord. Amen. And I believe God is pleased with that little strength. Amen. And he has not denied my name. And the word of God said they kept my word and has not denied my name. There's two things so far. There's an opportunity to reach others. The Spirit of God gives us that. And the Spirit of God helps us to rely on the strength that comes from above. But then the next thing is they were faithful to the Lord Jesus. They were faithful. Jesus said here, you've kept my word and you have not denied my name. I don't know about you, beloved. Listen, but I don't want to deny him, do you? And I want to keep his word. I thank God, listen, for a Bible school, for a church, for Sunday school classes, where this right here is what's being taught. Say amen. The word of the living God. He said, you've kept my word. A lot of people, they measure success by numbers. Can I tell you that it would be entirely possible instead of 155 to have 55 and still have a wonderful Bible school? Because we keep God's word. Amen. We don't compromise God's word. Amen. And we don't deny his name. We come in here and lift up Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 for just a moment. A lot of people measure success in a lot of different ways. But I believe there's a good text here in the book of Joshua. When I thought about here, they were faithful to Jesus. The Bible said here in verse number 6, let me read verse number 5, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua comes on the scene after the death of Moses. In verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. How many is glad God's no respecter of person? Amen. I praise the Lord. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. I love that phrase right there, observe to do. You know why a lot of people observe the Word of God? Just so they can be intelligent in the Word of God. Just so they can teach the Word of God. Just so they can preach the Word of God. But listen, God didn't tell Joshua to observe it so he could tell somebody else, or so he could share it, or so he could build his intellect. He said, I want you to observe it, and I want you to do it. What you find in the Word of God, I want you to do. The book of James said, be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. What's the rest of that? Deceiving your own selves. Amen. When we know the Word of God and we refuse to do it, we're deceiving our own self. The church at Philadelphia was not like that. Beloved, he said, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. We're talking about the word there in the book of Revelation with the church at Philadelphia. They kept this word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. There's that phrase again. All according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Beloved, that's the only time in the Word of God the word success is used. The word success in the things of God is tied directly to the Word of God. They were a successful church because they were a church that was in the Word. They were a church that was kept his name, that kept his word, that did not deny his name, a church that walked through the doors that God opened for them. And it was a blessing, amen, to see the church in Philadelphia and know that our Lord had nothing negative to say. Watch this now. Let's get on with it here. The Bible said, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Did you know, beloved, even in that early church, beloved, there were people trying to pull them back under the law. There were people that were trying to pull them away from the grace of God. There were people that were false prophets. The Bible said the tares would be planted right among the wheat, but the church didn't fall for it. Amen. And they knew what was at stake. They did not deny His name. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here about this, how they stood fast. In 1 Samuel, the Bible said, "For the Lord will not forsake His people." Now listen to this, "for His great name's sake." Beloved, there's a lot that goes on in our lives and in the life of the church and in the Word of God that's not for my name's sake, it's for His name's sake. And that would help, it would help us to remember that. In Psalm 23:3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Now, it's good for me to walk in the path of righteousness. But David said the reason He's leading me there is for His name's sake. Amen. When we are Christians, when we know the Lord, we've taken on the name of Christ. And it's for His name's sake. "For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." It's Psalm 25:11. Psalm 31:3, "For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of Thy name, and deliver us. Purge away our sins for Thy name's sake. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." I was reminded of something. That's over there in the book of Matthew. I was reminded of something when I looked at that today. I was preaching in a prison in Pennsylvania. I believe it wasn't Frackville. I'm trying to remember the name of that place. I can't remember it right off. But I was preaching in a state prison. And there was an imam that was the state chaplain in that prison. And the imam didn't attend the services, but evidently somebody preached loud enough till he heard him plumb over in his office. You understand what it means? Anyway, Brother Roger Napper, we support Brother Roger. Brother Roger was with me, and we walked over there. We're getting ready to go eat lunch after the service. And that imam looked at me and he said, "I don't know why you have to lift up your voice like that." And I told Brother Napper, I said, "You better be glad I can bite my tongue." Because what I wanted to say so badly was you'd be just as offended if I was whispering about my Jesus. It wasn't the tone, it wasn't the volume, it was the message that was going forth. Amen. And beloved, listen, if anybody in this world hates you as a Christian, it ain't because of who you are. It's because of who He is. It's for His name's sake. Amen. And I believe the church at Philadelphia, certainly everybody didn't like it because of what God was doing. But Jesus, beloved, here, He's telling us that He loved them. The Bible said in Acts 9:16, "I will show him how great things." This was talking about Paul, that he must suffer. Paul wasn't going to suffer for Paul's name's sake. He was going to suffer for His name's sake, for Jesus' sake. And the Bible said of that church there, "It has borne, has patience, for my name's sake hath labored, and has not fainted." The church at Ephesus, what a blessing that is. We come on down here, beloved. The Bible said here in verse 10, "Thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth." There's something here that maybe everybody doesn't believe, but I can stop and tell you what I believe and why I believe it. I believe this church that loves God, this church that's going through that open door, this church that has not denied His name, this church that keeps His word, I believe it's evidence, beloved, that there'll be a church like that when He comes. There's a group of people where it ain't all about them, it's all about Him. They sing about Him. They preach about Him. They teach about Him. They go door to door, Brother Jason, and talk about Him. Amen. Not about us. It's about Him. And I believe when Jesus comes, there'll be a church like that on the earth. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Well, He said here, "Behold, I come quickly." He said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee." Now, notice this. I got sense enough to know it would be one thing if He said, "I'll keep you in the hour of temptation." That's not what He said. He's able to do that. Amen. By the way, the flood and Noah and the flood, that's a type of Israel. God delivered them through the judgment. But Enoch, that's the type of the church. God delivered him from. You see the difference? And I believe that's what's talking about right here, beloved. He said, because you've kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. If you read your Bible, most of you probably know this, but in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, you see these words, come up hither. And then you see, beloved, the church in heaven. And the church is not mentioned during the tribulation hour. It's not mentioned again until Revelation 19 when we go to supper. Amen. The marriage supper of the Lamb. What a blessing, amen, to know. You say, Pastor, I was preaching one time on the tribulation. And somebody said, where are you going to be when all that's going on? I said, G-O-N-E, gone. Amen. That's what I believe. Now, turn with me in your Bibles real quickly. I'm going to sew it up right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I think it's something, Brother Jason, that God had you to open up that scripture tonight. That was awesome. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Are you there? Say amen. Verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh. I'm reading it in its context because I want you to see it in its context. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. By the way, I don't get real excited about the Abraham Accord. Well. Do you even know what I'm talking about? Amen? Oh, yeah, they're saying they're going to work all that out over there and they're going to quit shooting and quit fighting. Amen? I'm going to tell you something right now. I ain't real excited about it. Amen? I done read the book. Amen? They're going to come down on God's people. They're going to rain hell down on them. Amen? But they've forgotten God's people's got a God that's bigger than any bomb that's ever been made. Amen? Watch this now. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But, that's an important word, ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep. There's that wake up again. As do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. That would even fit with that scripture, Brother Jason, you were talking about. And the Word of God said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Let me ask you something tonight. How could I stand here tonight and comfort you with the words that, you know, we're headed into a period when men are going to run to the rocks and they're going to cry, fall on us and hide us from the face of God. How could I comfort you with words to tell you that one third of the earth's vegetation is going to be on fire and here we're going to be right in the middle of that mess? 100-pound hailstones falling from the sky and our babies, Brother Brian, we're going to be right here in the middle. Hey, I don't believe a word of that. Amen. God's not going to deliver us through the tribulation. He's going to deliver us from this great tribulation that's coming upon the world. Those are the comforting words to me. Amen. I tell you, beloved, he said, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord tonight. Amen. I'm heaven bound. I'm going to miss, beloved, listen, that judgment that's coming upon the earth, because my judgment for my sin took place at Calvary. My trust is in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. How many is glad you come tonight?